Psalm 119. We are in the 14th stanza of this psalm. Last week we went through Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104, and we know that the word is to make one wise. In verses 97 to 100, we see that the psalmist is wanting to be changed by the word. He makes a proclamation. He says, "Oh, how I love thy law." He makes a preoccupation. He says, "It is my meditation all the day." In verse 98 through 100, he talks about a profession of what the word does for him. In verse 98, he says, "I have wisdom to win." He says, "You've made me wiser than my enemies." In verse 99, he gives us insight to instruct. He says, "I understand more than my teachers." In verse 100, he says that I understand more than the ancients. So he has superiority over sages. Don't let anybody despise your youth, but be an example of all the character of God and the traits that God gives us through His Holy Spirit. In verses 101 through 103, we see that the psalmist is cleansed by the word. In surrender, he says, "I have refrained my feet from every evil way." In steadfastness, in 102, he says, "I have not departed from thy judgments." In satisfaction, in 103, he says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste." In verse 104, he's challenged by the word. In the first part of it, we see, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." There's no wisdom greater than God's. It says that we're supposed to, with all of our getting, get that. And that is the source. And it is also our standard. It says, "Therefore I what? Hate every evil way." Folks, we need to get on the same sheet of music with God. What God hates, we should hate. What God loves, we should love. And follow Him that way. So we're made wise by the Word. Now tonight we're going to start off with a very familiar verse. Tonight, God's Word lights our way. We're going to be looking at verses 105 through 112. And we need the light of God's Word to guide us on the path of life. So the word, the letter, the 14th letter in the Hebrew alphabet is Nun. Joshua, the son of Nun, spelled the same way. But it really is N. And it's interesting that at the beginning of the word, it is made with the one on the right. It's like it's kneeling. And so at the end of the word, it gets the other thing. So if you put an N on it, it looks on the one on the left. If you at the beginning of the word and you use an N, it's the one on the right. And it's an interesting thing that it's like you humble yourself, you get through the word, and you straighten up. Isn't that what God's word does? You know, actually, it comes from the word for fish. Because mem, the previous alphabet word, means water. You know, what God wants us to be is fishers of men. And so tonight we see the psalmist's love for this. In Psalm 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." John Quincy Adams, 6th President of the United States, once said, I speak as a man of the world to men of the world. And I say to you, search the Scriptures. Oh, we need leadership like that today. Amen. We need leadership like that. The Word of God is our light. In it we come to know God. In it we come to know His will for us. Through it we have strength to stand against our enemies and endure persecution in this life. This is our eternal heritage. The book is open, is before us. We must not miss out on what it contains. Wow.
Right.
Boy, if we had leaders like that, the world would be a different place. Our country would be a different place. We would actually follow God's truth. People would do righteousness. So tonight we see three things in this passage. In verses 105 through 106, we see that God's Word guides us. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's Word makes the path followable to the end. God's Word makes the path followable to the end. How many have been out in the dark and you've used a lantern or you've used a flashlight? You know, unless you've got one of those great big neon things now that throws out a whole bunch of candle power. You know, lanterns and flashlights were basically just enough to take the next step, to keep you from falling. It's light enough for the next step. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, quotes Old Testament, says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Folks, you need to have enough faith to pick up God's Word. You need to have enough faith to have God's Word direct. You need to have enough faith to take the next step. To take the next step. See, the reality of it is we only know the end of our path of life. We know what our eternity is, but how are we going to live in this life to get there? That is unwritten. That is unwritten. And that's why we need God's Word to direct our step by step by step. That's what it means talking about that it's a light unto my path. Enough that I could take the next step. In Psalm chapter 20, 37, verse 23, the steps of a what? Good man. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Would you rather go around stumbling around in the dark in the forest and hit trees and roots and trip and everything else, or have enough light for one more step? And then you take another step. You know what that means? You go forward. You go forward. You don't put the lantern behind you. You put it ahead of you. And you go from step to step to step. Do not worry about tomorrow. Walk in the today. Walk in the today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says this, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. It'll tell me the next step to go to. It's a light unto my path. If I go on the way that God wants me to, I'm going to get to the end the way God wants me to. See, here's the issue. We all want to know more about God, but here's a reality. It's not necessary to see beyond what God reveals. It's not necessary to see beyond the next step. But you know something? You need to know God's Word. If you don't know God's Word, you don't know where you're going. I'll tell you where you're going in the end. But you wander around like the Pharisees and they were blind. and they were blind. God's word guides us. It makes the path followable to the end. In verse 106, God's word is our reference point. When I was going through survival training, basically they put us up in the mountains. They gave us this jerky that we made. It was horrible. It tasted like parachute. It was like nylon. Because we made it and we got it too hot. It was up. And over the next week, we had to traverse about 100 miles through the Pikes Peak National Forest. And we had to evade people chasing us. And we had to go from point to point to point to point. Now, Colorado is nice and flat. It's like Oklahoma. It's nice and flat. No, it's not. It's up and down and up and down. We had a compass. But the whole point about it is to get on your path for that day, to get to the next checkpoint, to evade capture. You had to look at a site far, far away and go down that. And you had to keep that thing in sight all the time, or guess what? You get lost. So in verse 106, it says, I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. See, the reference point for the Christian, the reference point for all of us, are God's righteous judgments. God tells us what is right and wrong, and we need to follow it. Just like John Quincy Adams said, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. So we see three things here about God's reference point and what it did to him. It makes us commit to follow. He commits to follow God's word. He says, I have sworn. Okay? That's going into a legal contract. You don't make a deal with God. He makes a deal for you. And you keep his word. You keep his word. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto all thine own understanding. In what? All thy ways. Step by step. Step by step. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall what? Direct thy path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's a story of a bridge being built in Pennsylvania. And they were going to build from both banks. And when they got to the middle, they were 13 feet off. Because they had their own reference point on their own bank. And they didn't have a common reference point. Folks, we need a common reference point in our life. And that's God's word. God's word is our reference point for life. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I have sworn. And then the next thing, and I will perform it. So not only does the psalmist commit to following God's word, he continues to follow. You know, there's a lot of people that say a lot of words, but their actions don't back it up. Right. You can make a lot of promises, but unless you do something about it, they're worthless. And how many times we promise God that we're going to do something, we're going to change and everything else, and then we fall away. He's made an ironclad agreement. He says, I have sworn and I will perform it. Okay? I will perform it. And he continues to follow. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, it says, For ye were what? As sheep going astray, but are now what? Returned. Okay? So what does that imply? It implies that often we take our steps and we don't order them. They're not ordered by the Lord. We kind of go out into the darkness. We don't go where the light is, and then we get off path and we lose our reference point, and now we're off course. He says, "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." We need to put God first and keep Him in sight all the time, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep the reference point in front of you. God told the nation of Israel. It says, these commandments are going to be frontlets in front of your eyes, so you don't look to the left or the right. They're going to be right out in front of you. And you follow. And he considers the reference point finally in this verse. He says, that I will what? Keep thy righteous judgments. So the first thing is, it's a God word guides us. It makes our path followable to the end. And the second thing is that God's word is our reference point. God's word guards us. Okay? And so now I've lost 2 points. So point one, okay? Point one is this, okay? He says, I am afflicted very much, okay? Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. So God's word guards us and revives us. It revives us when we are being tested, when we need reviving. You know, how many times have we fallen away? Remember what he says earlier here in verse, let's see, where is it? In verse 25. He says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. So we... God's word guides us when we're in affliction, and He revives us. He says, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. The second thing in verse 108, it says, I accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord. Teach me thy judgments. God's word guides us when we're rejoicing. When we're rejoicing, okay? And so, you know, sometimes when we get out of sorts or we start getting so happy, you say things you don't want to say. God's word guides us so we see the right thing. So A is God's word guides us when we need reviving, when we're in affliction. We know that if everything goes away, and we've talked about this before, God's word is there, even when we're in much affliction. The second point is that God's word guards us when we're rejoicing. So we're rejoicing, we say the right things. We're rejoicing for the right reasons, not for our own glory, but for God's glory. The third thing is that God's word guards us when risking it all. In verse 109, it says, my soul is what? Continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. In Psalm 62, verse 5 and 8, it says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock in my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. See here, he says, my soul is continually in my hand. He's always at risk. Folks, there's enemies one right after another out there. We've seen this earlier in this psalm. And as we read through verse 25, he says, I'm like stuck in the dust. I'm prostrate on the ground. I can't go anywhere else. And so the issue is that we need to understand that God's word is the single source of truth that we need. You don't need to go out and look for anything else. God's word is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His power is sufficient. His mercy is sufficient. His love is sufficient. His salvation is sufficient. It's all sufficient. And so here it says, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. You know, we look for help from other things. No, we need to look for help from God and Him alone. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. When I'm afflicted, when I'm having success, God's there. He gets the glory. I don't. He's my refuge. He's my strength. And I'll do what? I'll trust in Him at all times. I am afflicted very much. Quicken, O Lord, according to Thy word. Accept, I beseech Thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me Thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget Thy law. In Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto the Lord. See, the issue is all this stuff has to be done continually. We take one step at a time. We're constantly moving forward. God's word lights our next step. Tells you that's the right way. Don't go over here. You're going to trip. Don't go over here. Doesn't that sound like you'll hear a voice behind you? This is the way when you walk in it, when you turn to the right or the left. So when you're in need of revival, when you're rejoicing, when you're risking it all in verse 109 and in verse 110, when recognizing the temptation. See, the issue is we need the reference point of God's word to determine the spirit of truth, determine of the spirit of error. We need to determine God's word to tell us what is right and what is wrong. If you don't study God's word, you won't have an absolute reference point.
Right.
And God's truth is absolute. God's word is absolute. There is absolute light and absolute darkness. There's absolute right. There's absolute wrong.
Right.
When recognizing temptation, in verse 110, the wicked have laid a snare for me. Sometimes we go through life not even knowing that the snares are out there. Because we're not looking. And that's how you can fall. And that's how you can get trapped. When you don't look. When God doesn't direct you. When you're not living in the day. And you're thinking about something else. Psalm 104 verse 5. The proud have laid a snare for me. And cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Selah. David knew. The psalmist knew that there were traps. He knew he had enemies. Folks, not everybody's your friend. Not everybody's your friend. Ah, here's the next thing. Not everybody's going the same way you are. Here's another one. Your path is unique to you. And it's not somebody else's path. you deviate from those things, there's a snare out there. There's a trap out there. The wicked are out there. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I what? Err not from thy precepts. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 says this, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as what?
Fools.
But as wise," which was last stanza. It was last stanza. So God's word guides us. God's word guards us. God's word gladdens us. Verses 1:11 through 1:12. In verse 1:11 it says, "Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever." God's word gladdens us when we embrace it. God's word is never going to do you any good unless you use it. Unless you seek it. Unless you hold it out in front of you. Unless you read it. Unless you follow it. Unless you hide it in your heart, they may not sin against thee. Unless you do that, we have to embrace God's word. "Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage." How long? Forever. So tomorrow, I'm going to live by God's word. On Friday, I'm going to live by God's word. Next week, I'm going to live by God's word. I don't know what next week's going to happen. I hope it's better. I hope my math classes get better. But you know something? The issue is, I'm going to hold to God's word. And next month, I'm going to hold to God's word. I don't know what next month's going to be. I don't know what the summertime's going to be. I don't know what next year's going to be. I don't know how long I have. But for today, I'm going to follow God's word. And if God gives me another day, I'm going to follow God's word. And my steps are going to be ordered by the Lord, and that's the way we're going to go. Because we need to embrace God's word. We need to embrace God's word. Secondly, when we enjoy it. "For they are the rejoicing of my heart." A young lady once remarked, "That's the dullest book I ever read," as she tossed the volume aside. Later, she became engaged to a scholarly gentleman. One evening, she remarked to him, "You know, here's a book by an author whose name is just like yours. Isn't that strange?" "There's nothing strange about it, my dear," he said, thumbing through the book. "It happens that I wrote it." That night, she did not retire until she had read every word of it. Now think about this, okay? The book now fascinated her and held her spellbound. What made the difference? She knew and she loved the author. We need to embrace God's word. You can't embrace God's word unless you love God. Okay? You can't love God the way you need to unless you know His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word in the flesh. So God's Word will gladden us when we embrace it. God's Word will gladden us when we decide that we're going to enjoy it. And you remember what was happening in the book of Zechariah? They said, "What is the burden of the Lord?" Okay, we have to go out and do this. "Tell us the burden of the Lord, prophet. What does God want us to do now?" That's not the way to live. And what did Zechariah say? "Lord said, I didn't lay on you any burden. You did this to yourself." Folks, we do this to ourselves. Okay? You choose to embrace God's word or not. You choose to enjoy God's word or not. Lastly, God's word gladdens it when we employ it. When we employ it. In verse Psalm 119, verse 162, it says, I rejoice at thy word as one that what? Findeth great spoil. You know, Christ talked about finding, you know, parables about heaven, the pearl of great price. Okay? The hidden treasure in the field. Okay? He sold everything to get it. So the issue is, that's how much we need to rejoice. But also when we employ it. In verse 112, it says, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes. How long? Always. Even unto the end. When Christ was talking to his disciples about the end times and his second coming, he talked about a householder and a householder having servants and whether or not the servants be working. And in Matthew chapter 24, verse 46, it says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So the issue here is it says, I've inclined my heart. That's something that we have to do. We have to direct our heart to God's word. Okay? To perform thy statutes always. And then you have to take a step by the light of God's word. Then we are going to understand the reward of God's word when we get to heaven. But it'll be a great journey because God's directing it. Because God's directing it. An elderly woman stood on a busy street corner, hesitant to cross because there was no traffic signal. As she waited, a gentleman came up beside her and asked, may I cross over with you? Relieved, she thanked him and took his arm. The path they took was anything but safe. The man seemed to be confused as they dodged traffic and even walked in a zigzag pattern across the street. You almost got us killed, the woman exclaimed in anger. When they finally reached the curb, you walk like you're blind. I am blind. I am blind, the man replied. That's why I asked if I could cross with you. So here's the point. In order to lead, have God lead you, you need to know God. You need to let Him lead you. You know, Jesus said of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, He says, let them alone. They be what? Blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the what? Ditch. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He will order my steps in good times and in bad times. We need to let Him do that. We need to walk in the light of God's word. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen? So do you embrace God's word? Do you enjoy God's word? Do you employ God's word? Is it directing your steps? Does it guard your life when you're afflicted? Does it guard your life when you're rejoicing and you're praising God? Does it guard your life when you're at risk? Does it guard your life when you see all the temptations of the world out there and know that that's not the right way to go? We need to walk in the light of God's word. Let's stand. Heavenly Father.